I love it, Jess. Welcome back, brother.
Hey, good to be back, Terry. I'm 10-8. I'm on duty.
Jesse, this is an amazing show. I love that music, man. It pumps me up because I really believe we're living in times where Christians, Catholics have to stand up for the truth. And that music helps me go, man, I'm not going to sit down and be quiet. I'm going to speak up. Today's topic, Jess, again, we're going to be talking about a religious exemption from the COVID-19 vaccine, so-called vaccine, because I've spent the whole week signing these petitions, religious exemptions.
Pastor Terry.
Yeah, well, I'm a director of the Historic Sacred Heart Chapel, and I've been signing away, but now I have a good priest friend from Chicago who's visiting me here at the house, and he'll sign as many documents as necessary. But I've got people coming with their kids going to go to college, a Catholic universities, and they're saying we can't get in without this. No problem, we'll take care of that. But we want to cover that because you think about it, Jess, how crazy the world is. In Israel, the most vaccinated country in the entire world, 80% of the vaccinated people are suffering COVID-19. Okay, I said 80% of those. That's a crazy thing. Another interesting thing, in Philadelphia, the mayor, he's saying if you're not vaccinated, Jess, you need to wear two masks. I mean, how much craziness? We've already had 47 studies showing that these masks are ineffective. They don't work. So that's what we're going to cover today. And I have a quote from Fulton Sheen that applies to this right now. Okay, but before we do any of that, what do we do every single day, Jess? We give them the soul food of the gospel.
Yep. Let me just mention also that the month of August is devoted to honoring the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
Yep.
So August is a good month to reconsecrate yourselves and your family to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Remember, she loves us with the heart of a mother. She's full of grace. She's pure.
Amen.
And she desires for us to be united to her son, Jesus Christ. Okay, soul food.
Yep.
Matthew chapter 18,
yep,
verses 21,
yep,
all the way to chapter 19, verse 1. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Peter approached Jesus and asked him, Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive him? As many as seven times. Jesus answered, I say to you, not seven times, but 77 times. That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold along with his wife, his children, and all his property. In payment of the debt, at that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full. Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. When that servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him and started to choke him, demanding, pay back what you owe. Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he had the fellow servant put in prison until he paid back the debt. Now, when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed and went to their master and reported the whole affair. His master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you have not had pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you? Then in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. So will my heavenly Father do to you, unless each of you forgives his brother from his heart. When Jesus finished these words, he left Galilee and went to the district of Judea across the Jordan, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Forgiveness, huh?
Wow. I'm going to make it very simple.
Yeah.
You cannot get to heaven if you have hatred, yeah, for people in your heart. So I'm going to repeat this again. People say, no, but I go to Mass and I pray, but I hate Biden and I hate Pelosi and I hate my brother-in-law, I hate my mother-in-law. Okay, I'm going to tell you again. You cannot get to heaven if you have hatred in your heart. I mean, I don't agree with some of the people that I just mentioned.
No.
I'm not going to have them over for a barbecue or anything, but I don't have hatred in my heart for them. I look at them as lost souls who are on their way to hell if we don't pray and do penance and give them the grace of conversion. So the point is this. In fact, I know a lot of people, Terry.
Yeah.
They've told me, they go, you know, I was sick for many years, and then all of a sudden, I heard you, Jess, and Terry one day say that you have to forgive people if you want to be forgiven. And people have written to me and said, I forgave this person after many years. I forgave that family member.
Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden, my diabetes is gone. My this illness was gone. That illness was gone. It was lifted or it lessened.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why. Because Psalm 32 says this, when you forgive not another, your body will be tortured. In other words, there's a direct effect. Psalm 32 verse 5 says that when you don't forgive somebody else, you actually get physical afflictions upon you.
Yep.
It's in the Bible.
Yep.
And so there's a connection between the forgiveness in your soul and also, you know, health. The health that God wants to bring and the restoration that God wants to bring. You'll see, once you stop hating people, you'll see a general improvement in your physical health.
Well said. Let's bring the smartest guy into the room, Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen. There he comes on that train. He's running a little slow, but full Sheen ahead. Jesse, if this doesn't say it all about our culture, bottom line, we need Jesus. But here's what Fulton Sheen says. It is a characteristic of any decaying civilization that the great masses of people are unaware of the tragedy. I'll tell you why they're unaware of the tragedy in our culture. Because they don't really have Jesus. They don't. You cannot have Jesus Christ as your Lord in your life and not realize that the culture is going down. It's going south. And I would say that we're being mesmerized by our government. I mean, the analogy that the emperor has no clothes on, that's what I see right now regarding COVID-19. All these people saying, we got to get vaccinated, got to get vaccinated. And then vaccinations that don't even work with this COVID-19. Or you got to wear masks, got to wear, get a second mask on, Jesse. You're not vaccinated. Well, we have 47 studies that show none of this works. And here's the point. For most of us, I still see people driving cars here in Southern California alone in the car, Jesse, with a mask on. I see guys walking down the street alone with masks on. We don't have, they have fear in their life. And so that's why they don't realize what's happening because they can't think. You know what? And I'll tell you one last thing, Jesse, and I'll give it back to you. But sin in our world is so great. What does Thomas Aquinas say? I'll just translate. Sin makes us stupid. And that's what we're doing. We're very stupid when it comes to this COVID-19. That's my take, Jess.
Yeah, Terry, what we have right now, it reminds me of, this whole Great Reset. Mm-hmm. This whole Great Reset is essentially, we need to bring in socialism and communism into the West. This Great Reset is the West must be destroyed. When we talk about Western civilization, who gave us all the great contributions of Western civilization? The Roman Catholic Church.
It was an atheist.
So this Great Reset means the destruction of the moral and social order given to us by 2,000 years of Catholic Christianity. And the Great Reset is what? We need moral and social disorder. Why? Because then people are going to run to the government because they're going to need help for everything, for their rent, for a job, for food, for everything, because things are so disordered socially and morally that Big Daddy government has to step in. This is what the Great Reset is all about. And let me just be honest with you. This also sets up the perfect storm for the Antichrist.
Yeah. And just to prove your point, Jesse, in America, what do you think is the greatest group of people in America that has gotten the vaccine? Almost 100% of the people, I'll tell you who they are, people on the Indian reservation. And I'll tell you why, my opinion. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jess. I believe that those Indians have been so used to having Uncle Sam get their checks for everything in life that when the government says, hey, you need this vaccination, they're going to sit out and not say a word because the government's been supporting them all their life. Am I onto something, Jess?
Terry, they've been conditioned that.
Yeah.
It's basically, this is the way communists operate. It's called re-education. It's called conditioning.
Well, when you get used to it, Jesse, then of course you're going to say yes.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what scares me.
Tell me.
Is that as Catholics, people need to remember that the government is not over the church. The church is over the government. That's the way it's always been looked at in Christianity.
Yep.
And I'll give you an analogy of that.
Tell us.
Think about a train, okay? Yeah. The Catholic Church is the engine. Truth is the engine. 2,000 years of Catholic Christianity is the engine. Politics is just the caboose. Okay, but they can't be separated. The caboose must follow the engine because the church is a supernatural institution. The government is a natural institution. But the Great Reset people, Terry, they want to put politics as the caboose. They want to make that the engine, and they want to make the truth.
Yep.
They want to make that the caboose. That is exactly what we're fighting right now.
And Jesse, that sets up for when we come back from the break about these bioethics saying there must be a conscience exemption to these vaccine mandates because we can think, you know, it's the truth that sets us free.
Yep.
And for them to just push it on us without any free will of our own, that's not right. Now, I'm not going to, if you want to get the vaccine, hey, all power to you. It's a free country. But don't force it on me as a Catholic and a believer in morality. It's not going to fit. It doesn't fit the litmus test. When we come back, we'll talk more about this and much more on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful. I still say it. I'm too blessed to be stressed, too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, yes, myself, we'd be billionaires because our faith is in Jesus Christ and His church. God bless you.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Jesse, before we begin, I just got a letter put on our desk here. It's to you and myself. It says, Dear Brother Terry and Jess, my wife and I are grateful to have met you and your people here. I met them, and I just want to say thank you. Please accept this donation for your work on behalf of the church. He says that I am just so blessed to be able to hear you folks. And he wrote a $2,000 check. We don't get $2,000 checks too often, Jeff. So I just want to acknowledge. He doesn't want to be, his name is not an interest. He's interested in the mission, Jess. What's the mission? To teach people the Catholic faith. To teach people the meaning and purpose of life. So I want to thank him publicly, but without using his name.
Yeah.
All right, brother, hit it.
Well, again, Terry, we need to keep the lights running and the toilets flushing.
Yeah, you got it, brother.
You know, so there's a great article. It's called Bioethicist.
Yes.
There must be conscience exemptions to vaccine mandates.
Right.
All three COVID-19 vaccines approved for use in the United States have some connection to controversial cell lines derived from elective abortions decades prior.
Just the facts.
Some employers have already begun mandating that employees receive COVID-19 vaccines.
Yep.
As workplaces have begun to require COVID-19 vaccinations for employees, some Catholic institutions insist that conscience exemptions are necessary. Hear, hear.
Yep.
In addition, priests should be allowed to support Catholics who conscientiously refuse COVID-19 vaccines, says one bioethicist. It is Catholic doctrine that people's well-founded conscientious objections are part of their religion, says Dr. Joseph Meany, president of the National Catholic Bioethics Center. He said that in an interview last Monday. Dr. Meany spoke in support of religious and conscientious exemptions to COVID-19 vaccine mandates. He said this, quote, "Part of our Catholic doctrine is that you should have to follow your conscience. And if your conscience is telling you not to do this, then you're not doing it, not just from your conscience perspective, but also from your religious Catholic belief," close quote.
Yep.
Some employers have already begun mandating that employees receive COVID-19 vaccines. For example, New York City this week announced it will require proof of COVID-19 vaccination for workers and patrons of some businesses such as gyms, restaurants, and theaters. The New York Archdiocese, meanwhile, has warned priests against granting religious vaccine exemptions for Catholics. All I can tell you, that's shameful.
Yeah.
What Dolan is doing, shameful.
I agree.
The article says, John P. Cahill, who is the Archdiocesan of New York's chancellor, so he speaks for Dolan, okay? He says, there is no basis for a priest to issue a religious exemption to the vaccine, close quote. Okay, in case you're wondering, has the church been infiltrated by Marxist, modernists, and Masons? Look no further than this article. It says the parochial vicar for the Diocese of New York says the memo was issued several days before the city announced its vaccine mandate. I want to make one comment.
Go ahead.
Back in 2012, this reminds me, she was spot on.
Yeah, Janet.
Somebody even before, Judy Brown.
Oh, yeah. I knew her well.
Yeah, she was a lay Catholic leader.
Yep.
She wrote a book in 2012. Her book is called The Broken Path,
mm-hmm.
How the Catholic Bishops Got Lost in the Weeds of American Politics.
That's a great book.
It's called The Broken Path, How Catholic Bishops Got Lost in the Weeds of American Politics. As I read this article, I hearken back to Judy Brown's book.
Yeah. Jesse,
says,
go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Terry.
No, I just want you to say, Jesse, we're getting people texting us as you're speaking and saying, from reading this article, and saying, what about the Novavax vaccine that has no aborted baby cells? He said, I read it has good trials. What are your thoughts? Well, obviously, if it doesn't have any connection with aborted babies, any in its trial and its any process, I don't know yet. I haven't researched that one, but if that's true, that's a game changer. I know the Louis Pasteur one in France also has that situation, but because it's in Germany and France, we can't get it here in America. So obviously, that's a game changer for a lot of us when it is tied into abortion. As Bishop Joseph Strickland said here on the Bishop Strickland Hour on Virgin Most Powerful, he says, I'm not willing to take a vaccine that is tainted by an unborn baby's death. I just won't do it. So I think he's in good company. Now, there are other people who seem to think, and this is my point, Jess, they think that this tragic COVID-19 is killing so many people that we have to have it. Well, let's look at the facts rather than what people are saying. Less than 1% of the population will die from COVID-19. As a matter of fact, if you're 50, 65 years or younger, it's like 0.006%. So here's my question. Why would anybody want to compromise their faith, even if they agree that there's a distance 50 years ago that were aborted babies in the process of getting this vaccine, when your chances if you are dying are just as bad from the flu or from dying on the freeway driving somewhere? The point I'm trying to convey is it doesn't hold water when they say, oh, this is so serious, my kid's going to need it. What? How many children in L.A. County, 10 million people, and 5 kids have died from COVID-19? More kids have died from the flu, okay, than COVID-19. So here's my point. Let's deal with the facts rather than fiction, Jess. That's my point.
That's right. The article says, while recognizing the discretion of individuals to either receive or decline a COVID-19 vaccine, the Archdiocese of New York's memo said that priests should not be active participants to such actions by granting religious exemptions. However, priests could definitely have a basis to support Catholics' religious exemptions to vaccine mandates. Dr. Joseph Meany, once again, the president of the National Catholic Bioethics Center, in an interview with CNA, he said the following. He said that he said this in a form letter,
yeah,
on the website, that Catholics could seek out to opt out of vaccine mandates for reasons of conscience. Here's what Dr. Joseph Meany says,
yeah,
from the National Catholic Bioethics Center. He says, quote, people objecting to this,
yeah,
ethically tainted vaccines,
right,
are doing so from a very sound Catholic basis. And so I think that they should get the support of the church for doing so, close quote. All three COVID-19 vaccines approved for the U.S. for use in the United States have some connection to the controversial cell lines derived from elective abortions,
yep,
decades prior. All three vaccines produced by Moderna, Pfizer, and Johnson & Johnson were tested with cell lines. Only one, produced by Johnson & Johnson, was produced directly using the cell lines. In 2008, a document called Dignitas Personae,
mm-hmm,
Dignitas Personae, the Vatican's Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, spoke,
right,
against the use of cell lines derived from elective abortions in vaccines. The document recognized that parents, for serious reasons, could use these vaccines for their children. I don't know what serious reasons you can come up with.
That was my point, Jesse. Kids aren't getting infected and dying from it. Why would you take a chance of giving your child a vaccine that 99.9945% are not even going to be affected? I just think it's bad judgment.
Yep. Today, both the Vatican and the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops have said that Catholics may validly receive one of the COVID-19 vaccines with connections to abortion-derived cell lines. That breaks my heart. Breaks my heart. The USCCB noted that Catholics should seek, if possible, to receive a vaccine with lesser connection to cell lines. Here's my comment. How about no connection to cell lines?
Yeah, and Jesse, the bottom line is they're saying this. There is no other option that was being done when this was rolled out. And so for them to say, go seek it, it seems like it's like holding your nose and go ahead and pull the lever. Okay? And I just feel like, here's my point, Jess. I realize that, you know, say to a certain extent, people have taken, this article says, statements that have come out, which are all true, that people can discern in conscience to accept the vaccine to be a kind of an endorsement, he said. It's more like a permission, he said. It's a reluctant permission. Here's my point, Jess. I'm black and white Catholicism,
yeah,
okay?
Too, me too.
What I see it is this is either right or wrong. There's no gray here for me.
Yeah, don't be telling me I'll give you reluctant permission to jab yourself with, tainted aborted fetal.
Either right or wrong, Jess.
Yeah, this is pretty simple, Terry. And I'll tell you how clear it is. Let me give you an analogy, and then we'll pick this up on the next.
Sure.
I'll give you an analogy. So for those moral theologians that say, well, yeah, it's okay, because some of these moral theologians, here's how they're arguing.
Tell me.
They're saying that many of these fetal cell lines were extracted decades ago, so you are far removed enough from the actual abortion.
That's their argument.
Therefore, they'll say it's morally permissible to use these experimental injections put out by Big Pharma to inoculate you against COVID-19 or the Delta variant. Well, I would ask these clergy the following question. Fathers, bishops, were very, very far removed from the original sin of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. So since we are so far removed from that original sin, why do we still need baptism?
Yeah.
Why do I still have concupiscence, Terry?
Yeah, exactly.
At what point will baptism no longer be necessary? Because after all, we're so, so far removed from Adam and Eve and their fall in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
So is baptism irrelevant? Or when will it be irrelevant? And if it's irrelevant because it's so far away, that event of Adam and Eve, why do I still have concupiscence, Terry?
Now, Jesse, that's a great analogy. I've not heard that one, but man, you got a PhD in common sense. I mean, you know what? Common sense isn't that common here, brother.
I just blogged that today on my Jesse.
Well, that was
blog.
Good, man. That was excellent, Jesse. Hey, but you know, and I understand that Pope Francis has made it clear that it's morally acceptable to take any of these vaccinations. And he said that we have a moral responsibility to get vaccinated. I get that. But I'm going to be honest with you, Jess. I said it the other day. That's not his expertise, medical.
Absolutely.
So we can agree to disagree with the Holy Father on this. And I would say this. This is one of the challenges we're faced right now is weak leadership in our church. I'm just going to say it. Now, hey, are you going to join me tonight at 7 to 9 to pray for the Pope and the Bishop? I'm going to get down on my knees and pray for. You know what I pray for? That the Pope and the bishops and priests will confirm us in our faith. That's what I call. That's what we're doing every Thursday night here at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Because I see too much ambiguity coming from the Holy See. That's how I see it, Jess.
That's right, Terry. And this reminds me once again about that 1979 book, The Battle for the American Church.
Oh, yeah. Monsignor George Kelly.
Yep. What he said, Terry, in the preface of the book, he said that there's a guerrilla-type warfare going on inside the American church.
Yep.
And he said, the church goes where its leaders take it.
That's it. That's the principle.
Yeah. In other words, here's my take. Weak leadership breeds a weak church. Strong leadership breeds a strong church. Terry?
Now, that's really clear. We're going to continue to get into this issue about vaccinations. On our website, everybody, we have the form for you to fill out. You can download it. Go to vmpr.org. And if you want me to sign it, or our priest friend here will sign it for your son, for your daughter, for you. And we're happy to do that. We'll be back with more on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jess, before I bring up our topic, I want to just mention that I got one of our listeners send us a book called I Do Not Consent, My Fight Against the Medical Cancel Culture. And this is from the America's Frontline Doctors. That's all over LifeSite News. I'm halfway through the book, but it basically is saying exactly what we're saying about COVID-19, that this has been manipulated politically and financially to make sure that a lot of people make a lot of money. Now, earlier in the week, I mentioned that Pfizer is going to be getting $33 billion in revenue for people getting vaccinated. Follow the money. It's like $20 a head that the government's paying them. So the book really illustrates, and I want to recommend the publisher, is called Bombardi Books, and I've got the ISDN number. I'll put this on our website for people to get it, because it really shows from the doctor's perspective, saying, wait a minute, what do you mean? Aren't we going to treat the patient? And they're going, no, we have to bill the patient a lot of money so we can make more money. And if they die in 2 weeks by letting them go, well, we made money. And so the doctors are, whatever happened to the Hippocratic Oath? Whatever happened to treating the patient? No, Jesse, think about this, brother. We live in a culture where we've been killing unborn babies for 40 or 50 years. Doesn't it make sense? What's the difference? We can kill some older people. We kill babies. Why not some old people? So I think that's the culture we're in right now.
Terry, this is why Venerable Fulton Sheen doesn't have an ST before his name.
That's exactly right, bro.
Because he would say things like, quote, the refusal to take sides on great moral issues is itself a decision. It is a silent acquiescence to evil.
Amen, brother.
The tragedy of our time, Sheen says, is that those who still believe in honesty lack fire and conviction.
We won't speak up.
Our bishops and the Roman Curia lacks fire and conviction.
I agree.
A prior pope, St. John Paul II, he wrote in Christi Fidelis, paragraph 38, about the issue of abortion. He said this, and it seems like they've just basically whited that out. That's no longer. He says, the common outcry which is justly made on behalf of human rights, for example, the right to health, to home, to work, to family, to culture, is false and illusory if the right to life is not defended with maximum determination. Did you hear what John
said? Tell that to the bishops today. So many of them don't get that.
Yeah, that we're supposed to defend the right to life with maximum determination. Mm-hmm. Here's what happens, Terry, in this in the Church of Nice. I mean, just got.
And that's a good way of describing it.
I mean, when you start acquiescing or playing nice with evil, evil starts taking a life of its own. So he said, okay, these fetal cell lines, these were extracted decades ago.
Yeah, come on,
Terry. That's exactly what's called incrementalism.
Exactly what that is.
What I mean by that is that evil takes a life of its own. For example, I'll give you a parallel to this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, first in the 60s, they said, fornication. Yeah, you know what? That's not, that. There's nothing wrong with that. Kind of threw out the fornication laws. Then we threw out birth control in 1968. And guess what? Look at where we're at now.
Exactly.
It's opened up society and even our church to the evil of abortion, to the evil of contraception, a so-called same-sex marriage.
We justify it all.
Bathroom laws.
Yeah.
But it's because we caved in at the very beginning.
That's right.
And this is what we're doing again right here. We're seeing it play out again. And I could just say this. It would be very hard to be a bishop or a priest and stand before the judgment seat of Christ being on the wrong side of this issue.
And Jesse, that's why our good friend, our Bishop Joseph Strickland, here's an article about him. On the Bishop Strickland show, he made news. Why did he make news? Because the bishop said our country is battered by a media that lies to us. Now, I can say that and nobody goes, who cares? But Bishop Strickland said people should fear God and not fear death. And he was talking about a reference to the coronavirus propaganda being pushed with the so-called Delta variant. Here's a bishop who really you can trust, who's speaking the truth. And I get it. I'm going to be honest with you. Maybe I shouldn't say this. But Jess, he's not well-liked by his brother bishops. I'll just say that. Okay? Because he's a troublemaker. Why? Because he doesn't compromise. I've seen him at the bishops' conference, Jess, look at his brothers and say, do we really believe in the kingship of Jesus Christ? What a bishop saying? Do we really believe that God's word is inspired?
They look at me like he's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Like, get out of here. Who is this guy? See, here's the point I'm making, though. We're living in times. Think about the times of King Henry VIII. How many bishops held the line, Jess? One, Bishop Fisher. Okay. How many laymen held the line at that time in the Church of England? One, Thomas More.
Right.
See, this is not unusual for us to be out there going, hey, Jess, where's everybody supporting us? Hey, don't expect for support from our church right now.
Nope.
No. You know when you have your support, your prayer life, your sacramental life, that's what's going to sustain you through this.
Yep. I'd rather be in the same team with St. Thomas More and St. John Fisher than the English bishops at the time who are probably in a not so nice place right now. I'm just saying. Go back to the article. It says, however, the Vatican has been clear that Catholics can conscientiously object to receiving the vaccines.
That's right.
Dr. Joseph Meany, again, president of the National Catholic Bioethics Center.
Yep.
Dr. Meany says that the vaccination, the Vatican's Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith back in December 2020 stated that vaccination is not, as a rule, a moral obligation, and therefore it must be voluntary. Close quote. Such theological notes are reviewed by the Pope. Dr. Joseph Meany, president of the National Catholic Bioethics Center, added, the church is saying for certain individuals, they can in good conscience take it, the vaccine, he said.
Yeah.
For others who discern that they do not want to receive the COVID-19 vaccines because of their connection to abortion-derived cell lines, the church says they can decline to do so.
Yeah.
In both circumstances, Dr. Joseph Meany from the National Catholic Bioethics Center says the church defends their right to do
absolutely.
So. here's my take, Terry.
Tell me,
I'll make it very simple.
Simple.
Simple's better. Occam's razor.
Yeah.
Father Chad Ripperger, an exorcist and an atonist, he says this. He says, here's his position in two sentences. He says this, abortion-tainted vaccines, he calls this ongoing theft of babies' bodies.
That's right.
And so Father Ripperger says
it all.
The only way to restore in the order of justice is you've got to bury the aborted fetal lines.
Yeah.
He said that's the only way, in virtue of justice, that you can remedy this situation, because you've got to return them back to God. So it's very simple.
That's
he calls abortion-tainted vaccines ongoing theft of babies' bodies, and in virtue of justice, which we're all bound by, give everybody what they deserve, we've got to bury these aborted fetal lines, and we've got to return them back to God and give them a dignified burial.
And you know, Jesse, I just want to bring something up. It's not an old wound. It's just the facts. 3 years ago, you and I were taken off the air on a national radio network. And we were just a little too strong on positions. We wouldn't compromise. And I think right now, yesterday, I heard on national radio, Catholic radio stations, just the opposite of what we're saying. They have a doctor saying, look, get vaccinated or you could die. I guarantee you, you're going to get the Delta virus, and you need to get your kids vaccinated. You need to get you. And they're allowing this and saying, yeah, we need to get behind all this. And I know my buddies at that station, I know downright they don't believe 100% of that. I guarantee it. But you know what? They got bills to pay. They got a job to take. I understand that's their decision. But you know what, Jesse? I don't regret 3 years ago when we got let go, because you know what, Jess? You and I couldn't be doing what we're doing. And our listeners have been supporting us all those years to let us speak our mind. And I just want to publicly thank those monthly donors who say, you know what, Jess, Terry, I believe what you guys are doing is the truth. And even though you took it on the chin, hey, you know what? I've never seen Jess Romero get knocked down. Can I be honest with you, Jess? When we got knocked off, You got knocked down, but you got right back up, and you're punching back and forth right now for the last 3 years, and we couldn't do it without our support. And I want to thank all those listeners who are monthly supporters. If you want to become one, go to vmpr.org or call 877-526-2151. Finish your thought, Jess, but when we come back from the break, we're going to have some news from our good friends at Church Militant. Finish your thought, Jess.
Terry, it's very simple. I just go back to the first Pope, St. Peter,
yeah.
And here's what he told us. He said, we must, Acts 5:29.
Yeah.
We must obey God.
That's right.
First. Rather than men.
Yep.
That's very simple.
It's a good principle.
We must obey God rather than men.
Yep.
And if you hear people telling you, oh, followers, Christians are supposed to stay neutral on political issues, baloney. Because, you know, it's they're trying to say like God doesn't care about political issues.
Yeah.
God only cares about evangelism. No. Politics affects God's children.
That's right.
So Christians must engage the culture.
Yep.
They must interfere in politics at the very least by their vote.
Yeah.
Because Fulton Sheen says when the state is interfering with morality,
yes.
It's no longer politics, it's theology.
That's right.
And so when the state sets itself up as an absolute, as God, when it claims sovereignty over our souls and is trying to destroy our freedom of conscience, Fulton Sheen says the state has ceased to be political and has now begun to be a counter church, an
yep.
anti-church. And that's what we have right now,
Terry. Yes.
The Great Reset in America. Joe Biden is setting up an anti-church.
That's a fact. Folks, if you go to our website, vmpr.org, you can look at getting your religious exemption from the COVID vaccine. I'm just going to read something real quick. Here's a simple one I wrote to an individual. He's a member of the Catholic Church. I affirm that this individual has a religious objection to the origins currently available in the coronavirus vaccine, specifically due to the unethical nature in which the vaccines were tested, manufactured using tissue cells from the previous abortions. I respect this decision and decline the vaccine, affirm that this is in accordance with the Catholic teaching of the sanctity of human life from the moment of conception. I'll sign that for you, and I hope that'll let you continue your work, whether you're in the medical field or whatever field. When we come back, Church Militant's going to join us about what's coming up on their news for tonight that you want to be informed on. You're listening to The Terry and Jesse Show. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to The Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. It doesn't look like we're connected with our friends over at Church Militant yet. If they come in, we'll let you know. Jess, this whole issue of COVID-19, we have had, 18 months to figure this thing out? I don't see them on the screen.
They're saying we're not connected.
Are you guys there? This is Terry and Jesse. Who am I speaking to?
Can you hear me?
I can hear
Terry
you,
and
my
Jesse
friend.
Yes. Sizer here?
Yes. Go right ahead.
I can hear but can't see. Is that right?
I can't see you, but I can hear you. So I'm all ears. Let's go ahead and get that interview in and talk about Church Militant news and what's going on.
Okay. Well, first off, I have to tell you, Terry and yes. Jesse, how privileged I am to be here with you. I'm kind of one of the newbies here at Church Militant.
I've
been
you.
Here a couple months, been filling in at the anchor desk this past week while Michael Voris is on vacation, or else he would be here with you.
Yes.
But as soon as I heard I was going to be on your show, I was so grateful because I thought, finally, I get an opportunity to thank you both because I am a convert to the Catholic Church.
Awesome.
And I used to listen to you every day. And it was probably, I don't know, about a decade ago that I was listening to you both and you all were talking about how Catholics view Mary. And you just gave me this proper perspective mm-hmm. that I didn't have before while I was on the journey trying to come into the church and had that stumbling block that so many Protestants have, unfortunately, with the Blessed Virgin Mary. And anyway, you helped me immensely. And
awesome.
So I thank you,
for
your ministry.
Well, any good we do comes from God. We thank him for it, sister. But I want to talk about now Church Militant news, because I don't go a day without watching it. What's going on today?
Same here. Let me just make a comment real quick. Is that the news items for tonight? It reminds me of that statement. I think it was a Lutheran priest, Father. He passed away. He wrote First Things.
Oh, said, Newhouse. Newhouse.
Yeah, I heard him say in a printed
Catholic
in a printed
moment.
Page.
Yeah.
He says the U.S. bishops are nothing but the Democrat Party in robes. Yeah. That's what we're going to see tonight in Church Militant. We're going to see that really come to life.
Yep.
Go ahead.
We're all ears now.
All right. Sounds good. Well, as you might expect, we're working on stories right now. We have about 25, 26 stories going into tonight's newscast. One that you will hear comes out of Santa Fe. So I got to tell you right now, if you're looking for some cheap land around the southern Rocky Mountains, you're going to want to be by your computer September 21st. This is actually sad news. That's when the Archdiocese of Santa Fe is going to begin auctioning off some properties to actually pay for a slew of sex abuse lawsuits. And bidding's going to start as low as $500. So you're going to want to be by your computer for that. And also, they'll have another auction coming up in November. So that's one of the stories that we're working on. Another one, and this is so troubling, you know, many of us are obviously against getting the COVID jab for a myriad of very good and valid reasons.
Man.
And so many people are getting pressured from every side, whether it's from friends or family or coworkers, the government, their employer. We're also getting it within the church. We recently discovered that Cardinal Supich is actually pressuring the National Catholic Bioethics Center to mandate that Catholics get vaccinated, which is something that the center has said they will not do.
Yeah.
But this is something that Supich is pressuring. Obviously, he's been supportive of the jab since last year. You know, he's been talking about it. So we're going to have a story on that. Can I jump in?
Yeah, when you talk about Supich, I have to say something about him. Because I remember when he was at Spokane, Washington, and priest friends of mine said he would not let priests pray the rosary at abortion clinics. Okay? So it's ridiculous. So I pray, as I said tonight, from 7 to 9, every Thursday, we pray for our Pope, our bishops, our priests, before the Blessed Sacrament. We're going to do that again tonight. But I just want to say, Bishop, our Cardinal Supich, he is consistent from the very beginning of not supporting Catholic morality. And so that doesn't surprise me. But I want to say this. That man needs prayers, because I wouldn't want to go to the judgment seat. We call it the exit interview when it times your death, and say, hey, you know what? This is what I did as the Archbishop Cardinal of Chicago. Are you kidding me? And you're going to. And I thank you for talking about this, because now more people will pray for his conversion. Continue, please.
That is such a great point. And, I might add to that, Terry, I think we need to pray for one another,
for
fellow Catholics to remain strong, because we are obviously in perilous times. And this is not a time to put down the armor of God, right?
No.
We need to be suiting up every single day, because we have a battle every single day, and we need to be prepared. So pray for our leaders and pray for each other.
Amen. What else? Man, you guys are going to cover some good stuff. Kim.
Yeah.
Thank you. We sure do. It takes a whole team to do it, we're working hard for you. Also in Texas, if you follow this story, the Republican-controlled Senate passed the Voter Integrity Bill. Of course, this has been in the news for a while. We've been watching the whole clown show involving the Democrats there that fled the state to avoid voting on this bill. They took their field trip to the, to D.C., and I think even one or so, went to Portugal. But anyway, there finally was a vote, and it passed. And so thankfully, there are those who still believe in voter integrity. So we're going to have more information on that, but that kind of gives you a taste of what some of our stories are for this evening. And we certainly hope you'll tune in to watch.
Well, all of it. And then I want to always make a plug for Church Militant, that not only is it informing Catholics to be high information Catholics, it's teaching people the faith. There's so many resources on your website, whether it's teaching people about the Mass, about Our Lady, about purgatory. I mean, there's so much catechetical material. So I just want to remind people that it's there on the website, correct?
Oh, you are definitely right, at churchmilitant.com. And, as I mentioned before, I'm new here and I am constantly learning. Honestly, I did not really fully understand how much was going on within the church before coming to Church Militant. Okay. It's so eye-opening, and it's important to know these things. I was quite content to just kind of bury my head in the sand, so to speak, because you know, it's kind of hard sometimes dealing with the ugliness. But if you don't know who or what the enemy is, you can't fight it. And so, yes, I encourage you, please go to our website. There's enough information there to keep you busy for months, if not years on end, actually researching some of the material on there.
Well said.
Kim, did we meet this weekend? I was over at Church Militant at the Strength and Honor Conference. I'm not sure if I met you.
No, I wasn't here. I was okay. Of the wrong gender. So I'm so sorry I missed you. I'm so glad you were here for the men's conference, though. I heard it was stellar. There was such a great turnout, and you were a fabulous speaker, as always, very passionate. And so I'm so glad you were here, and I hope I get to meet you next time.
Great, Kim.
I'm sure we will.
We should meet you in November, because I know you're going to persevere on that event. We both are coming for that one. Kim, let me ask you, the time...
Yeah.
Well, when this news is on, I know we're on Pacific Coast time. Can you tell us the Central time, or is that what you guys are on?
We are on Eastern time, Eastern. So 6:30 Eastern. And, of course, after the show is done, we have it there on our website. Again, you can go to churchmilitant.com and watch the newscast. You can watch, you know, if you've missed other nights, you can tune in and watch those as well. So we hope people will tune in and watch.
Fantastic. Well,
Kim, we got also news when we were at the conference, again, that they had canceled the Church Militant, the hotel, the conference center, and I can only imagine who was behind it.
I don't want to be one to speculate. For those who don't know, and I am glad you brought it up, I was going to mention that because I know you were both scheduled to speak. We had, I think, about 16 speakers lined up. It was going to be fantastic, again, scheduled for November. However, someone from within the city actually got in touch with the venue where it was going to be held and had it canceled. Apparently, we were somehow connected with the January 6th supposed, you know, insurrection there in D.C. and not sure how, you know, and so therefore we were labeled as some kind of violent group, even though no one here has expressed any kind of violence ever.
Nope.
But nonetheless, it got canceled. And we are kind of gathering, putting our heads together to see how to move forward.
Amen. Well, we'll be ready, willing, and able. We want to support you in this. So, Kim, I want to thank you for coming on for the first time. I'm sure in the future we'll have you too. But tell Michael when he gets back that we're looking forward to having him for next week. Okay.
Oh, I know, is looking forward to being back with you. I hope he's enjoying his time off.
You betcha. Well, thanks again for joining us here.
Thanks,
on the
Kim.
Terry and Jesse
God bless
show.
You.
God
yep.
love you.
God bless you too. Thank you so much.
You bet.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
It's always a bit of fresh air to listen to what is going on in the church, even when the bad things, because like you say, we know what to pray for tonight. When we're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, we're going to lift it up and make reparation, because reparation needs to be made on things that are going on that are crummy in the church. That's how it's, you know, restitution needs to be put through.
And again, what's important is this: despite everything that's happening all around us with the Great Reset and even within the church,
all that,
don't lose your interior life.
Exactly.
This is the most, the devil wants you to lose your interior life, to get so, you know, depressed and fall into despair that you start living a life of mortal sin and walk away from God. Don't give the devil the victory. You must persevere. Remember, when it's all said and done and we drop dead and we're before the judgment seat of Christ, we will take off our shields and our swords and we will lay them to the side. We will no longer need them. In the afterlife, you're only a soldier of Christ here, not in the afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
God willing, we live and die in a state of grace at our exit interview. So once we take off our shield, our breastplate, and our sword, that's battle worn, that's been torn up and bloody, the blood of demons. Hopefully, we hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant."
Amen.
And hopefully, we enter into the kingdom of God. And guess what? When you walk through the gates again, you will not be a soldier of Christ. You will be like a child again. Fulton Sheen calls heaven God's nursery.
I love it.
We will walk into heaven. God will take us by the hand like a good father. And we will enjoy the nursery of heaven with God as our father forever and ever.
Amen.
We will no longer need battle gear in heaven.
I'm looking forward to that, Brother Jess. But right now, I'm ready to. I'm ready, willing, and able to stand up for the Jesus Christ and his teachings in season and out. And I ask you to join in on this by helping us continue to stay on the air, to promote the faith. And if you want to get our free app, and you can listen to us anywhere in the world, go to vmpr.org or call us at 877-526-2151. That's where you can make a donation, either the website or a phone call. Thanks again for joining us. Jess, can't end a show without asking what state we should be in, brother.
Live in a state of grace. Yep. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. As St. Peter says, flee this corrupt generation.
Amen. And we have up next Dr. Sandoval, one of the great speakers of our time when it comes to psychiatrists and also therapists and also a helper with exorcisms, knowing what's going on with that. All of the above. You won't miss his show here on Virgin Most Powerful. Stay with him. God bless you. And